Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Your fantasy season doesn't end after your draft. The Fantasy Football Today podcast is going to get you through the season and to a championship. Fantasy Football Today, part of CBS Sports Podcast Network, has episodes every single day. Waiver wire, trade talk, starter sit, mailbags, and more. If you want to win your league, you need to listen to Fantasy Football Today. Follow and listen to Fantasy Football Today on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We are awaiting Sydney Sweeney, who should be joining us momentarily, unless Hoff really screwed this thing up. But they 1 o'clock Eastern time. We're sure about that.
I'm pretty sure it says Eastern time. It could be, you know.
Either way, we've done some research. How are you feeling, BT?
I'm feeling good. I was actually just looking at some of the pictures. I know she tacked on about 30 pounds, and we'll get into the movie Christy Martin, obviously. Wow. That is quite the transformation. She looks nothing like she normally does. It's crazy.
I mean, that's got to be nuts. Gaining 30 pounds. A part of me thinks, and we could just ask her, assuming she calls in, a part of me thinks it could be fun, just like go to town, eat whatever you want, or you're trying to add muscle. I mean, she looks like she's pretty jacked in this movie.
That's the thing. Yeah, so it's not just sitting around doing nothing and just, you know, banging back calories. It's putting on, you know, believable combat weight, which she obviously did. All right, it'll be interesting.
I didn't know this either. I don't watch Euphoria, but I've heard that's a popular show, and apparently she does not drink and never has smoked or used drugs.
She's missing out.
I drink, but I've never smoked or used drugs, and then she's only 28, so she's got ways to go
College age? I mean, come on, think about what we did in college.
No, I'm just saying, like me,
think about
40.
What we did at a junior prom in high school.
Yeah, well, what you did. Yeah, we don't say
well, I know Hoff was with me as well.
Come I'm 46 and never touched anything. Yes, alcohol, of course, and I love my surf sides, but that's pretty impressive. But we're learning about her obviously here in this movie. I would be interested in seeing that. Now I'm not a combat guy myself, meaning I'm not a huge fan. I know Hoff loves the MMA stuff.
I used to love boxing though.
So
did
talk I about that the old days
we did
Foreman or my old days Tyson, obviously. Mm-hmm. Those type guys growing up, boxing was great. Now we get into it now if there were big fights. It seems now all the big fights though were staged, kind of more
It's like celebrity oriented, and let's bring in this guy to bringing Tyson at the age of 60, whatever it might be. It's really because of UFC. I mean, UFC's marginalized boxing. It just has.
In what way? Why can't boxing still have a legit competition? Like, I'd rather watch boxing if it were authentic competition as opposed to a stage Mike Tyson, Jake Paul, or whatever.
I do too, but I think about the lack of or the disposable income that's available for each family. I mean, I think at some point, and Hoff, you can weigh in, I think at some point, listen, if money doesn't matter, then this doesn't apply. But if money matters in your world, then at some point, you got to make a decision. Are you buying UFC fights or are you buying boxing fights? So, you got to branch off at some point.
But here's the thing that we haven't really talked about this at all. UFC is now going to be part of Paramount Plus come January. So you don't have to pay for pay-per-view anymore. It's going to be built into that.
We have
that
to pay premium. Paramount Plus.
Yeah, you just pay Paramount Plus, and it's part of that premium, like whatever you pay per month.
Even the big ones?
Oh, everything is going to be. She's calling in.
I was just going to ask him. He got excited. Tight. You know he's getting nervous. It was 103 and ticking.
You know
he was getting nervous.
Hello, Sydney. This is Hoff.
Yeah. And look at him. I wish we had cameras on him right now.
We do.
I've never seen that. I've never seen that smile as big with Hoff over there.
He is happy.
It's a little different than getting, you know, Baldy on every Tuesday.
or you know, walking schmooze into the studio like you did the other day.
Look, Hoff's, we get 10 minutes with the Hoff's taking five of them right now and just feeling, oh, no.
Hey, Hoff, get her on the air, buddy. You can talk to her after.
Ooh, God. Macaulay Culkin was a fun one, you're right, but that was only a quick.
I don't remember it only being 4 minutes. Yeah, you guys both said the same thing. 4 minutes.
We taped it.
I remember we taped it after the show.
And it was a quickie. This one, 10 minutes would be fine. I mean, 10 minutes on Christy.
We'll see. If we have 10 minutes, I'm going to run out of material, man. Hopefully we have four.
Let's see. Hoff has got his
Look at Hoff.
All right. Welcoming to the show right now, the BT and Sal Show, Brandon Tierney, Sal Licati. We have Sydney Sweeney joining us right now, one of the most famous actresses in the world, no question about it. Sydney transforms into Christy in her new movie coming out November 7th. Christy, based on a true story. Sydney Sweeney, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Very good. So first off, we're reading a lot about this. Apparently you gained a lot of weight to play this role. How'd that go?
I did. I gained like 35 pounds for it.
How?
So I had like 2.5-3 months of training. I worked with a boxing coach, a weight coach, a nutritionist, and I would weight train in the morning. At night, I'd box like 2 to 3 hours every day. And I took so many protein shakes, creatine, L-carnate, just filling up with calories. It was a lot. I felt so sick all the time.
Was it harder to gain the weight or lose the weight to get back to your natural weight?
It was harder to gain it because the amount that I had to eat and consume was a lot. Mm-hmm. And then whenever I started adding the boxing element in, I started losing the weight. So I was trying to find this balance.
So was this a natural role for you, Sydney? Because we're just doing some research here, and it sounds like you're into the combat stuff. You were an athlete in high school with the combat sports, with taekwondo and jiu-jitsu. How fun was this for you to play this role of Christy?
Oh, I loved it. I felt like I was going home. I grew up kickboxing and grappling at like 12 years old, and my senseis were Ronda Rousey senseis. So I worked with Jean LaBelle, Benny Legette, Gokor Hayastan, and I loved it. It's such a brotherhood to walk into, and so being able to be back into that dynamic was a treat.
Are you a black belt or no? Did you get that far?
Oh, I wish. I had some competitions. I fought some guys. I beat them. And as I was getting like really into it, I booked Euphoria, and I wasn't allowed to fight anymore.
So you were knocking on the door. You were almost there. So it's got to be tough. It's one thing for Sylvester Stallone to get in the ring and throw fake punches, you know, as a non-fighter, but as an actor. But you, even though you're not a black belt, you've got a very high level of experience. So you ever come close to connecting? Because you've thrown a lot of real ones in your life. So how do you make sure you don't hurt anybody?
Oh, so this is the crazy thing. We actually did connect in those fights on the movie. It was one of my first things I talked to was my fight coordinator, Walt, and all of my stunt girls, and some of the girls were actual fighters as well. And I was like, hit me. I want you to hit me, and I want to connect. I'm like, there's so much of Christy that comes to life in these scenes and her in the ring. I was like, I don't want to have to be on the back of my head because it's a stunt double, or I don't want to have to be cutting the scene and be super choppy because you don't get to see Christy's personality shine. You don't get to see the emotional change that's happening to her during these fights. So when you see us hitting each other, we're actually connecting, and there's some bloody noses. I got a concussion. Like it was full force.
You got concussed. Wow. BT and Sal on the Fan. We're talking with Sydney Sweeney ahead of her new movie, November 7th, that comes out. Christy, based on a true story of Christy Martin, who was a female boxer, a professional female boxer. You had a concussion, Sydney?
I did. It was crazy.
I mean, that's pretty rough for you're an actress. You shouldn't be getting concussed. How difficult was that to recover and then get back out there and do it again?
Yeah, how long were you out?
I didn't have any time to be out. We're on a tight budget and a tight timeline. I remember I was having my friend Kiwi, we were like icing me. I had ice baths, and it was wild. It was the most insane experience, but I loved it.
You're a trooper. You're all in. So you were born, I don't know how long or when you left Idaho, but you know, now doing what you do and being exposed to what you're exposed to, you're in a lot of the big cities, obviously, domestically and all around the world. So how much do you miss the little doings of Idaho, if you will? It's the complete opposite of where you are now, I'm sure.
Oh, you guys, I go home more often than not. I don't even consider LA my home. I'm back with my family where I grew up. I live in my great grandma's house. I bought it back from this couple a few years ago, and I was like, I want to be neighbors with my grandma. So I'm still up in Idaho. I love it. And while I was training for this movie, I turned my grandma's shed into my Rocky gym. I put a floor ring in, I put some boxing bags, and I trained up there with everyone.
That is absolutely fantastic. All right, so I have been to 44 of the 50 states, and Idaho is one of the ones that I have not been to. What am I missing? I know it's gorgeous.
Oh, it's beautiful. I mean, the lakes and the mountains, and it's so hard because you want to go see it during every single time of the year. Like, fall's gorgeous, the trees are changing, winter, if it's a good winter with a lot of snow, the skiing's incredible, like, go up to Schweitzer, it's where I ski. And then summertime, it's beautiful, the lakes are nice and warm and refreshing, and it's just great people, great scenery. If you love to hike, you can be outdoors all the time. Like, I was never inside. I was never playing video games or watching TV. I was just outside, exploring, building tree houses, playing with my friends.
Good for you. A real human being. I love it.
Did you ever think, Sydney, like you go from, I'm sure, dreaming about becoming an actress or whatever it is that you want to dream about and being in these movies and all that stuff. You have become one of the more famous, more desirable women in the entire world. That's a level of fame I'm not sure anybody can comprehend. How do you deal with where your life has taken you now to being at that level?
You know, I don't know. I hang out with the same people I grew up with, so I don't think that it hits me often because they definitely keep me humble. But, I mean, I'm very appreciative of it, but I'll just go home with my friends and my family.
Grounded. That's what it's about. You sound incredibly grounded. All right, so listen, Sydney, our guy Hoff, who booked this, our producer, great guy, great fan of the Fight Game, massive fan of yours. We got to let him ask you. I don't know what he's going to ask you, but go ahead, Hoff. It's your turn.
I have two questions. I'll make it quick. First of all, who is your favorite female fighter? I mean, or is there who's your favorite fighter from the UFC? How about that?
Oh, man. I mean, Cyborg is awesome. Ronda's incredible. I always wish that I could see those two fight, actually.
And then lastly, for me,
yeah, I grew up when Ronda was like at the height of her entire career.
Yeah. And then now she's doing wrestling, which is okay. It's not as good as the UFC stuff. But now here's my biggest question, because I'm also a horror movie fan and you do a lot of horror movies. Are you going to get back into the horror movie game soon? Immaculate, I think, was the last one you did. What's the next horror movie you're going to do?
Yeah. Ooh, I have a fun one that I'm actually producing and putting together right now. It's based on a Reddit article that I found, and it's pretty cool. But I love horror. It's my dad's favorite genre, so every time I do a horror film, I kind of feel like it's a little present for him. So I'll definitely be doing quite a few more in my lifetime.
I love it. So now I have a question for you. So you're not even 30 yet. You were 28, I believe. So the movies that I saw, you certainly didn't see in real time. Go back to that horror genre. Did you, Friday the 13th, Freddy Krueger, you jump into all that stuff? And if so, do you like it?
Oh, yeah. My dad had me watching everything at a very young age. And you might be questionable of, like, why are you having me watch that? But Halloween's his favorite holiday. So he could not show my little brother and I all these films. He loves it.
How old were you when you first saw Michael Myers? Hopefully you weren't like 5.
Oh, gosh. I probably was like 8.
That's acceptable.
You referenced before, Cindy, you referenced Rocky. Have you seen all the Rocky movies?
I have. You know that Christy actually went and ran the Rocky steps the other day.
Oh, you meaning you or the actual Christy?
No, the actual Christy.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing.
Yeah. Wasn't sure. Which one? How old is she at this point? She could run those Rocky steps and no issues?
Oh, hell yeah. Christy could still knock you out if you got in the ring with her.
Where are we at with Euphoria, Sydney? When's that coming out?
It's coming out next spring. I actually have 1 week left. Next week's my last week on Euphoria.
That's it? For good?
Yeah. For now in my life so far.
All right. Well, obviously a great career. Anything left for you, BT?
No. What's your favorite sport besides the fight game?
Ooh. I mean, I love watching hockey. I love when they throw their gloves and start to fight.
Did you see Matt Rempe get his ass kicked the other night?
No, I literally, whenever I'm filming Euphoria, I feel like I'm in such a bubble and the rest of the world passes by me.
Gotcha.
But I love hockey. I love baseball.
There you go.
I definitely grew up with baseball.
Okay.
And I grew up playing soccer. I've never gone to a soccer game and watched it, but I love playing it.
Will you be watching the World Series, and who are you rooting for?
Ooh, I don't want to, if I say right now, I feel like I'm either going to have people love me or hate me. I can't say that publicly.
Don't you have that already? I think you do.
I mean, yeah. We don't need to add more to this right now, man.
Thank you, Sydney. We appreciate your time. Good luck with the movie, Christy. Check it out, based on a real story. Christy Martin, professional women's boxer, comes out 11/7, November 7th. Thank you so much, Sydney. We appreciate the time.
I think she got that was enjoyable.
I think she had enough.
Okay.
She had enough of you. She didn't have enough of BT and Sal.
I've got a couple questions in there. All good to go.
Sal, if I said to you, all right, you know, you can, and the training, whether it's weight gain, weight loss, whatever, you would look the part, and you, if you can do one movie role, like reenact somebody, an actual figure from cinematography. Anybody jump out? I mean, would it be something from Rocky? We talk about it all the time.
What do you mean? If I could play?
Yeah, if you
role?
Could play somebody, something from maybe the old mob movies, Goodfellas.
Honestly, dude,
jump out?
After my experience on Gravesend, I'm not sure. I'm sure everyone wanted to do that again.
All right, but if you had to,
I don't know.
I know. I don't even know if I have one there. Actually, now that I'm thinking about it,
I thought she was like, it's so weird when you follow somebody from afar, and I'm not locked into her career.
No, but neither am I.
You know, she's 28 years old. It's very young. Obviously, we're familiar with her stuff. She's familiar with who she is. She's one of the most famous people in the world. But what a terrific, grounded personality you got from Anna. She's just going through the ringer of the interviews, and that's what they do. Hang up, you know, bang them out, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, whatever.
Oh, yeah.
On to the next one. But she sounded authentic and grounded.
I don't think you could fake that. I mean, listen, you know, I think it's very apparent where, you know, what her family means to her. She bought her grandma's, or she bought her one of the old homes out in Idaho so she could live next to her grandma. I mean, that seems like she's got both feet on the ground, and she seems, listen, I mean, she seems like the kind of girl you want to sit down and laugh with. Like, she's cool. Like, she's, you know, I thought she was very down to earth, and I enjoyed that. I didn't know what to expect, but it was good. Good job, Pop. She was
that
cool.
That level of fame has just got to be. And she's like, oh, I stay around my same people.
I wouldn't want that at all.
Oh,
not that level, not at all. No way.
You can't go anywhere. God. You can't, like.
Dude, I get thrown out of a Little League baseball game. It's all over the New York Post. Could you imagine what would happen if, like, you know, you're one of these people? Good God almighty.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Your fantasy season doesn't end after your draft. The Fantasy Football Today podcast is going to get you through the season and to a championship. Fantasy Football Today, part of CBS Sports Podcast Network, has episodes every single day. Waiver wire, trade talk, starter sit, mailbags, and more. If you want to win your league, you need to listen to Fantasy Football Today. Follow and listen to Fantasy Football Today on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, that was something, huh?
Yeah. I mean, I probably would have had more questions for Mike Sweetney, the old Georgetown forward who was on the Knicks for a second. What? But that was unique, and that was fun. Good job, Huff.
And what do you think everybody around the WFAN newsroom was doing during the last commercial break?
Is she coming in studio? Where is she? Is she on Zoom?
Searching
Why isn't
pictures.
She here?
Well, only Drew. Hoff. Only Hoff could book Sydney Sweeney and make it audio only. I mean, come on. You can't even get a Zoom.
You know me. I try to always go Zoom, but this was a very specific audio only. These are the rapid fire things. You know, I would always go Zoom. But
you know how great for digital that would have been had you gotten a Zoom from her?
Yeah. It may have been the highest hit in the history of the station, honestly. Yeah.
Listen, just put a picture up.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Good job. No, we're talking.
Yeah, use the one from Euphoria.
I'm going to, exactly. I'm going to keep the person I was talking with nameless here, but I run out to somebody when I was going to the bathroom during the break. And they go, oh, yeah, Sydney Sweeney, great, great get, you know, popular, blah, 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 good looking.
Mm-hmm.
God-awful actress, though.
That's what somebody at the station said.
I know exactly who that is.
All right, so I'm gonna.
I don't remember her in White Lotus. I don't know
me
why.
Neither. I'm gonna rule out who wouldn't say that. Loogie wouldn't say it. Gallo wouldn't say it. I think it's got to be somebody either a little bit older or in management with that kind of throw a little wet water on the situation.
Will you watch this movie, Christy?
I actually will.
Because now, isn't there added interest?
Yeah, yeah.
She gained 30 pounds or so for the movie.
Yeah, and I like the fight game, not like he does, but I was watching you. Yeah, I was into that for a little bit. So
could be an interesting story.
I would watch it. Yeah. Sure, sure.
Check it out.
I'm telling you right now, she's going to win an award for this movie. And you know who else is supposed to win an award for
you
the movie?
You said The Rock was going to win an award.
Right.
The movie's getting shredded.
Right, and you want to know why? Because he didn't come on the show like I asked him to.
Well, did he win something when he was the Tooth Fairy? Remember that one?
No,
The Rock, hockey player?
He won a Razzie, from what I understand. Those like the upside-down awards?
Bad one. He's not going to win, though, right?
I've heard some people still say it's still worth the watch.
She's not going to win an award for this?
Yeah. No, you know what? They do give extra points for, like, dramatic... appearance changes, like wild fluctuations in weight. That gets a little more, that gets weighed differently.
I never heard of the show Euphoria, or I've never seen it. I've heard of it. I've never seen it before, but all of a sudden I'm intrigued by it.
I heard some things about that I might have to watch now.
BT and Sal on the fan. Chris is calling from Bayshore. What's up, Chris?
Yeah, hey guys. How are we doing? It was a fun interview. A little different, but you guys did a nice job. Couple of things. First, Sal, I want to congratulate you on that award. I'm part of that organization in that dinner you're going to in January. It should be a fun time.
Oh, thank you. Looking forward to that, Chris.
Yeah, yeah. You got to prepare a little, little brief speech. You get to sit up at the dais with all the important people, and it's all good. You should have.
I don't know if I'm a dais guy. I was thinking about this. I'm more of a sit at my table with my family type guy. But if I need to,
I know. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think they have all the award winners up there, but it's a really good time. And coincidentally, it's actually the place from The Sopranos where
Johnny Sack's daughter got married.
BT told me that.
I said that.
Yeah. I didn't know that. Right. BT told me.
Right, that was the great scene.
Chris, if Sal gets a little too proud of the award, don't worry, because there's a good chance his partner will be in the crowd heckling him as he goes up to give
a
couple of the words.
There you go. Yeah, it's a good time, and people have been great over the years. They have great guests, so. So it's a big, well-deserved, and I just want to congratulate you on that.
Thank you. The Dick Young Award.
I thought the Daboll thing, I think his press conference yesterday was probably the best I've ever heard the guy. The guy seemed genuine. He seemed, he actually answered questions, and he seemed like a normal person yesterday.
Normal person. Wow, what a standard. He sounded like a normal person yesterday. I'm proud of him.
Yeah, I mean, Chris, the problem is, though, and thank you for the call. We appreciate the kind words.
Chris.
The problem is they continue to lose. Like, at some point, and, is it going to be year five? You're six? Like, at what point are we exactly going to expect the head coach to start winning some football games here? That's all that I'm saying. And it's not just that they're losing, it's how they're losing as well. There's no excuse for the way they lost the Cowboy game, no excuse for the way they lost the Bronco game. That can't happen. And two games in a fourth year in a season, it's going to make a huge difference. So it's not that, they don't have the quarterback, Daniel Jones, the offensive line. Yeah, there's injuries, just like every team deals with injuries. Giants should be better. I think they should be better than what their record says they are.
I think one thing that could save Dable, and even if they don't win a lot of games, and we talked about this, and I don't think that they will, but the fact that he was the one who really stood up on that table and said, this is the kid that I want. We got to go get him. We have to get him. And there was a little disconnect. To what extent, I don't know, because I'm obviously not in the room there, but I'm not saying at all that Joe Shane was anti-Jackson Dart. I'm not saying that at all, but it was very clear, very apparent that Jackson Dart was the by far a favorite of Dable. So if management split, and based on all the losing, they should be, because it shouldn't be guaranteed to come back for year five, that is going to be a very powerful thing, though, that could swing the pendulum back in Dable's favor if he plays well the rest of the year, which I think that he will, even if they don't win a lot of games.
Blake is calling from Dallas, Texas. What's up, Blake?
Hey, Blake.
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
How are you?
I just wanted to make a call. I'm doing well. I enjoy talking to you guys. I call pretty often. It's been a year, 2-6. I'll just get to it, man. I think I listen to you guys all the time. I'm a big fan, so I kind of stay with the conversation. I stay with the flow. And I think both of you are right, and I think you just got to go back to what you said originally. If you bring them back, you can't just bring them back for this year. And you almost have to look at, because look, the reality is we should have two more wins. BT, you make good points. Maybe we don't win the games that we did win. Sal, you make good points, but we should have won two more games. And I agree with all of it. Like, you know, things could always change as the NFL. It's a week-to-week basis. Here's my opinion on it, and here's what I think. I think, one, you need a new defensive coordinator. I think Dable needs to learn how to become a good head coach, good game management. I don't think you give up on the guy. I think he shows a lot of ability. I think he can be a guy. I'm not pro Dable. I'm not against Dable. I think you got to commit to him to next year. This year, with the injuries and everything going on, you have to look at it case by case. Obviously, as a fan base, we want more wins. I think you judge them on wins next year. I think right now, if you break up that coach-quarterback relationship, you don't know what's on the other side of that. When Shermer had Daniel Jones, and Daniel Jones put together his best year as a rookie, 24 touchdowns, 3,000 passing yards, you know, now we see Jones, and he's doing well, and, you know, that story is still being written. He's playing a lot of bad teams. They're playing great. Best of luck to him and what he's doing. Is it sustainable? We don't know. We always want to give grades, you know, final grades 8 weeks into the season. We'll see how that plays out in Indianapolis, but best of luck to him. But we have Dart. Dart and Dable are obviously connecting. They're obviously they're doing a good job. He's doing a good job with this quarterback. And we haven't had the quarterback. This guy is our guy. He's going to be franchise pending injury, God forbid, which we've had the injury bug. You need to keep him. Next year, you judge him on wins and losses. But I believe, I'll make my point, and it took me a long time, and I'll get off. I believe you got to keep him, number one. And number two, I question the ownership. And here's what I'm going to say. I think Dable could be the guy. And I think, what is Mara, what are all these guys doing for Dable? Because Dable, you got to remember, Dable is not a veteran head coach. He's still learning how to be a coach.
That's the thing. Thank you for the call. You can't be learning in year four. I actually agree with a lot of what you said. And as you know, as a listener of the show, I've been saying that I don't know if I want to break up this tandem. And BT and I talked about it. If they were going to bring those guys back in the offseason, then it should be beyond just this year. However, I believe they should be better than 2-6 through the first eight games. So you're right that a head coach is learning, but it's year four. So he's going to learn more in year five, and then you're going to bring him back next year. And what happens if they start out again at 2-6? Then what?
That's where I was going. You know, it's less about a really rough, ugly record this year. It's more about, okay, the quarterback and the head coach, good synergy. We're going to roll it back one more year, and then you look up, you're 1-4. Or you're 2-5, or you're worse, 2-6, or 3-8, whatever it might be. No, they could be the converse. I mean, they could have a good offseason, and they could win some games. I don't even know the schedule for next year. I'm going to actually double check during the break just out of curiosity. There's no way it's going to be tough like this. This schedule is ridiculous. But then where do you go if it's a brutal September next year? You are in a very unenviable spot where almost all the juice will be sucked out of all the good that happened from Jackson Dart, because the fans will be rabid, the media will be pouncing, and that's counterproductive.
As much as I want to believe in Brian Dable because he has a lot of traits that I do like, the evidence against him being a good head coach is piling up. It continues to pile up. Whether it's last year, 2 years ago, Daniel Jones, lack of kicker, blowing games in week two and week seven against the Broncos, the way they played against the Saints, not going to Dart sooner, picking Russell Wilson. Like, there's a lot of evidence that is piling up against Brian Dable being the guy, and it's 4 years. I think by 4 years, you should be able to have enough evidence to determine whether he's going to make it or not, or whether that would be the guy that you want to roll the dice with moving forward.
Generally, but they've had such an absence of talent. For me, it's kind of, it's really made it hard to evaluate him fairly. But at some point, I mean, yeah, it's time to get off the pot. I mean, you got to win some games here. The thing that bothers me, though, is that he's made the same mistake multiple times. Now, we could sit here and talk about secondary's not that good, without Neighbors, no receiver, with Neighbors, no other real receivers, this, that, offensive line not that good. We know that it's been a roster that has not been very good. But when you, it's one thing when you have a kicker issue a year ago and you don't learn from it this year, it's two games it cost you. It's another thing when your defensive coordinator, for some reason, only rushes three and you get beaten at the end of the game that you should have won. And then a couple of weeks after it, you see it unfolding again. You don't step in and stop it. Like, you have to learn from some of these egregious mistakes.
That's the problem. It can happen against the Cowboys, fine. It can't happen again against the Broncos. And it did. Mike is calling from Manhattan. What's up, Mike? Mike, you there?
What's going on, boys?
Yeah, what's up, Mike?
Not much. So let me caveat by first saying I'm a Colts fan. So what they're doing has been very impressive, the stats and everything like that. But one thing that really is, I don't think being highlighted enough, is that the Colts punter doesn't even qualify because he has an average 2.5 punts this year. He has 16 total.
Is that the fewest in the NFL?
It's got to be.
And the Raiders got up there, right?
The Raiders got two people on that list, and Rigoberto Sanchez isn't even on there.
Yeah, I mean,
that's really impressive when you think about that. And I think like that just plays in part of like how efficient this offense has been, munching the clock, keeping the other offense off the field, and you know, giving themselves the opportunity to kind of reassess and take control of the game.
They punctuated a lot of drives there, Mike, and that's the point now. That's a stat. I wasn't even aware of that, and I love stats. I'm certainly not looking at punting stats. That's for damn sure, although finally the Jets did find a decent punter, so I do like that because he is young, and they've been looking for him for a while. But now you've got to incorporate this. Well, okay, so they're doing this, and they're moving the chains, and they're scoring points, and the yards are there, and blah, blah, blah. Well, who do they play? Let's see. They beat the Dolphins. They beat the Tennessee Titans twice. You know, the schedule's been a little soft here. They played Las Vegas. They hung 40 on them. Las Vegas might actually be worse than the Jets. They might be. They're less competitive than the Jets. I know that. So they have played a lot of the worst teams in the NFL. Is it going to really change? Well, now you go to Pittsburgh at Kansas City. Houston's playing better at Seattle, San Francisco. I would like to see. I'm not saying that they won't be good. I would like to see how these stats hold up as they start getting to the second half of the season with better teams.
Yeah, I mean, if they protect the football all year long, they're going to have the one seed in the AFC. I still don't trust Daniel Jones, but, you got to stop. You watch them. They are a machine led by Jonathan Taylor, of course, but, I mean, they don't do anything wrong. The Colts have been dominating the NFL, so you could look at the schedule, but it's been pretty much every week they have been a dominant team. I would expect that maybe tough sledding against Pittsburgh on the road, especially with the Steelers coming off a loss. Like, that's a game I can't feel confident with the Colts in, but, I mean, I don't know how you could doubt them anymore at this particular point. They're going to have to start actually losing some games to really doubt the Colts because they've been that good.
Yeah, well, think about this. We do the power up power rankings every Thursday, and like I couldn't really throw them on there. I threw them on two weeks ago. Yeah, well, this week for the first time, I'm like, at some point, you got to kind of react to what you're doing here. It's not September. It's almost November here. But even with the season that Daniel Jones is having, right, which is really, really good, he's on pace for 28 touchdowns. I mean, in a very vertical league with a lot of points scored. So that doesn't mean that they aren't viable, although I think if they play Kansas City, they get absolutely ravaged in the playoffs there. But they do run the ball. Their O-line is good. They
plus
are well-coached.
Plus 116, dude. Plus
is that what the number is? Is that the best in the NFL? It's got to be.
By far.
What's the second best? You got the standings up there? See. Plus 116.
Pats have plus 67.
Yeah, that's a good point differential.
That's it. Plus 67. There's a couple other 60s in there, but the Pats are the second. Lions have plus 64.
Wow.
Broncos, I mean, that plus 56, Chiefs plus 62, plus 116.
That's
7-1, 5-0 at home. They've won 4 in a row. They don't turn the ball over. Plus 116.
You know, the numbers are the numbers, and that paints a very interesting, somewhat dominant picture here. But just to bring it back to the Giants for a second, the Giants are minus 42. That is the second worst in the NFC. Yeah. Second worst.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Your fantasy season doesn't end after your draft. The Fantasy Football Today podcast is going to get you through the season and to a championship. Fantasy Football Today, part of CBS Sports Podcast Network, has episodes every single day. Waiver wire, trade talk, starter sit, mailbags, and more. If you want to win your league, you need to listen to Fantasy Football Today. Follow and listen to Fantasy Football Today on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Call of the Day with Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata on The Fan.
Today's Call of the Day, I mean, I can imagine who it's going to be. Today's Call of the Day brought to you by Edison Heating and Cooling, New Jersey's heating experts. Zach is on Long Island talking about the Giants. What's up, Zach?
Like, people keep saying get rid of Daboll. Like, you just hire the next guy and it's all going to be, you know, rainbows and butterflies. I can't think of a harder job in professional sports or football, besides being an athlete, than the head coach. People want to move on from Daboll and, you know, get the next guy. What happened with Belichick? He was gone. I mean, the skills were gone when Brady left. Yeah. The schemes didn't matter. They weren't good.
Yeah, but hold on. But then they got the right guy in Vrabel after a one-year disaster, and look at them now.
I mean, that's fair enough, but they also got Drake May and a couple others.
All right, well, the Giants have Jackson Dart.
You think Dable's done a good job here as a head coach in 4 years?
I don't think he's done a good job, but he's had an incredibly difficult task at hand. He's had a garbage roster.
Well, everybody that gets fired, they could probably say the same thing. You either, because very rarely, outside of maybe Joe Torre and a few others, like, how many times do you start a job where the roster's ready to roll?
Besides clock management, how do you really say a coach is doing a god-awful job?
He's picking bad defensive coordinators.
He's losing! That's how! Hoff, as much as that call was fine, how do you book Sydney Sweeney on the show and not make her call of the day?
I don't want to make it about myself.
Okay. Okay. Hoff loves Sydney Sweeney so much that he's going, oh, she's got like 600 million followers.
I know. And what did I say? There's 385 million people in America.
600 million
followers?
Aren't you shocked, though? I thought for sure she was going to be called today.
I did, too.
Come on.
And he came in, too. He's like, during the break, he's like, yeah, she's like, she seemed to really be laughing sincerely, you know? And Sal's so like, nah, she's just an actress. I thought it was sincere. I thought we actually made her really laugh. I think she was vibing. She enjoyed it.
Oh, yeah.
She did.
Yeah, listen, right.
Hey, we could have listened to it back. If it was the call of the day, we could have judged it again.
She had no idea who we were, still has no idea, doesn't care, moving right along. The Giants drive of the game is brought to you by the New Jersey Division of Highway Traffic and Safety. Look out for pedestrians. Safety is a shared responsibility for me. Drive of the game has to be the one that the Eagles had that was with the bad officiating there, the tush push, which Jalen Hurts should have fumbled that football. He was either stopped short or fumbled. And for me, that was a big drive of the game, BT. I know the Giants were on defense there, but still, that was a game-changing drive. I'm not saying the Giants would have won had that call not gone that way. I'm saying we would have had a game if that didn't go that way, and it shouldn't have gone the way that it did.
They have to fix that. You know, I'll co-sign that as a drive of the game. I mean, obviously, you could go Breece Hall, a little flick pass in the back of the end zone to Mason Taylor.
Well, it's a Giants drive of the game.
Oh, so it is.
Couldn't have done that.
You can't do that then. I don't know why. That was just the drive of the game. My bad. No, then it's definitely what you said, 100%. It really joked, though. I mean, we did this at the start of the show. If you guys missed anything, ton of energy to start. But you talk about the tush push. I thought Wandale Robinson had a horrendous call. He got put back in the block in the back, the neutral zone infraction where Philly obviously was not called. They should have been. The Slayton OPI. The refs were real. I mean, you watch enough football, you know the refs are not that good. Yesterday, I know they weren't. It actually looked like they were on the take. That's how bad it was.
Mickey's in Nutley. What's up, Mickey?
Hey, guys. I think it is hard to say that the Giants would have won if that play was officiated right, or any play for that matter, throughout the game. But how much longer do you think that the NFL can kind of let it slide? It seemed to me like they were acting like the first down was the goal line in this scenario.
Yes, correct.
And it makes no sense.
It's going to be gone.
It's just, yeah.
The competition committee is going to get rid of it this winter. I believe that it's going to finally be gone. I do. And it should be.
We just have to pretend that the ball wasn't taken from Jalen Hurts' hands. It's tough, though. You know, it's tough.
It made no sense. Thank you for the call, Mickey. It made no sense. It's not why that they lost the game. We could go over a lot of reasons for that. However, the call shouldn't have gone that way. Every single time, it was a horrific call. And I understand Dable being so frustrated, he's throwing the challenge even when they say you can't challenge it. I would have stopped playing a game. Like, that's how livid I would have been in that moment. I'm sure he was. Like, I'm playing this under protest. This is ridiculous. We can't continue this game. We just turned the ball over. Which is it? This play is cheap. You're cheating. Bad enough a couple of weeks ago, you're not calling the false starts, which helped them out. Now, you're not calling the false starts, fair enough. Now you're saying that the play was blown dead. If it were blown dead, he would have been short of the line to gain. Definitely. And if it's not blown dead, it's a fumble. Either way, the Giants should have won on that play, and they didn't. They got screwed. That's ridiculous. It should never happen.
And you're thinking about this, like, okay, Giants in practice, I'm sure amongst the coaches, you know, I don't know if they necessarily say this to the players, but the coaches knew it would be tougher because the Giants just beat Philly, so Philly's going to be pissed off and it's in Philly, whatever. So as the coaching staff, you're sitting there saying, guys, we got to put one on the carpet early. We have to either flip the field or change the game, something sudden, and you do it against the most indefensible play in the game, and you don't get rewarded. It's brutal. It really, they missed that terribly.
Sonny is in Malvern. What's up, Sonny?
Hey guys, a couple things. One, I didn't see the game. I was listening to it in the car, and Carl Banks and Bob Papa were livid. They said on the heels of the NBA that these officials should be investigated. That's
Sonny, I heard that. Sonny, I will let you make your next point. I heard that. I was in the car coming back from my daughter's soccer game. I heard the same exact thing, and then obviously I went back home and I watched it. I thought they were they were raw. I mean, they were just they didn't hold back. They were really on point. I heard the same thing.
Yeah, that's what I love about Carl Banks. He really gives it to the refs, and he gives it to the Giants when they're playing for. Second point, at Dable and Dart. Listen, Sal, you can't change the fact that they got to win more games when we said they're only probably going to win 4 or 5 games at the beginning of the year. Dable, listen, I could take him or leave him, right? I would bring in a guy like Gruden, say, because he has a relationship with Dart. But you can't take away that tandem. You got to give him credit for, number one, drafting Dart when a lot of us weren't thinking about Dart. I was. Number two, for developing Dart. And number three, for being competitive and changing the offense of this team. Now, as far as Dart is concerned, I'm concerned about him, guys. You can't
Before you go right to Dart, I'm confused about something. All those reasons that you said, getting the right quarterback, going to that quarterback, elevating the offense, how come it's not resulting in wins then?
We didn't say that we're going to win 8 games, Sal.
Nobody knew what Jackson Dart was going to be. Now that you saw what he can be, they should be winning more.
But the schedule was brutal. Listen, did Scatterball and Dart give a little magic and some swag to this team?
They had a 19-point lead in Denver in the fourth quarter.
The defense collapsed. And listen, if they had winked, that would have never happened. Number two, he's like a father figure to this kid. You can't take away those two, okay? You give him one more year. Next year is based on wins, Sal. This year was based on the development of the quarterback, and everybody said that. So you can't change that.
I got a question for you, Sonny.
Go ahead.
Could you close your eyes and envision Brian Dable hoisting a Lombardi trophy?
He's got to change.
The year four, he's got to change.
So the answer there is no, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so I'll answer it for you. The answer is no, and I don't know what else you need to hear. Now that doesn't mean that he couldn't defy what appears to be a logical take by most of us, because my answer to that same question would be no. I can't envision that. I don't see that. So if that's the case, what are we doing? Are you keeping him around for what?
Things change in season. You can't just say, well, they weren't supposed to win many games. Yeah, that was with Russell Wilson as a starter. I would have never thought that Jackson Dart would be starting by now. And also, nobody had any idea how good he was going to be. And then immediately we saw him and the impact that it had, to the tune of beating the Chargers, beating the Eagles. Still, losing to the Cowboys the way that they did, losing to the Saints, losing to the Broncos the way that they did, that's not evaluating them based on wins and losses. That's evaluating them saying that they lost 2 games that they had no business losing. The same exact way. All right, I'll give you week 2. It can't happen again in week 7. That, to me, is on the coach. They've done, and on top of the kicking situation that's been an issue with them for years, costing them games, look at his record. I want to believe in Dable. I'd love to see this through. I don't believe he knows how to win. The evidence is against them. Show me. They're losing more. They shouldn't, in my opinion, they should not be 2-6. They should be better than that. You can rip Shane for the talent. You can say they're not supposed to be very good. They should be better than what they are, which is one of the worst records in the NFL, with 2 absolutely horrific losses, not even including the one to the Saints, who only have 1 win on the year.
And they're 7th in total salary cap allocation here. So, to me, that's a problem, because all the resources, and listen, Burns has been great, and I know Carter's doing some things from a non-sack perspective. I get that. And Thibodeau's been, he's been good. And they got some good defensive players, but most of the big money, and I said this at the start of the show, is wrapped up in guys up front, and yet they give up basically 300 yards rushing yesterday, and they're 3rd in the NFL run defense. So, You know, there's a lot of things to fix here. There really are. And it doesn't help. There really is. It doesn't help that Neighbors is not here. Right. And now Scattaboo is not here. Now, we did think, and we nailed this, like when Andrew Thomas plays, they just do look so much more functional. Remember some of the games when he got hurt? I guess that was the Dallas game a couple of years ago. They lost 40-zip. There, I mean, there's been some absolute trouncings because they couldn't even do the most basic, you know, the most basic mechanical aspect of running an offense. At least with Thomas, they can do that. And it does look much better with Dart, but either win or lose. I mean, this is not, it's not Little League. Did you win the game or lose the game?
And we could disagree on this. You and I or everybody else, doesn't matter. Like, Daniel Jones, to me, having the level of success that he's had so far in Indy, dude, right away. He went from being disaster here in New York for 3 years, or at least the last 2 years, with Brian Daboll for different reasons. Injuries, poor performance. And I know it's not just Daboll. It's New York as well, and the pressure and all that stuff. But you can't tell me that Shane Steichen can make Daniel Jones look like that 8 weeks into his first year with the Colts, and Brian Daboll couldn't do that at all with the Giants, because even the success that they had the first year was not there.
He threw 15 touchdowns that year, and he's on pace for almost 30 this year. It's funny, I went back and I looked at some of the over-under here. It's like the Browns, the Titans, the Jets, the Giants, Saints. They seem to have nailed all those. Vegas was low. Panthers low. Indianapolis was 7.5. I think it'll fly by that,
we're going at 7.
I know.
All right. That does it for us. Thanks to Dove. Thanks to Hoff coming through in a big way today. Sydney Sweeney, who would have thought that? In case you missed anything, check it out on the free Odyssey app. Thanks to Hoff for his hard work as always. Thanks to everybody who listened and called. We appreciate each and every one of you. Back again tomorrow, 10 a.m. Evan and Tiki, they're coming up next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Your fantasy season doesn't end after your draft. The Fantasy Football Today podcast is going to get you through the season and to a championship. Fantasy Football Today, part of CBS Sports Podcast Network, has episodes every single day. Waiver wire, trade talk, starter sit, mailbags, and more. If you want to win your league, you need to listen to Fantasy Football Today. Follow and listen to Fantasy Football Today on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.